Joseph, fili David, noli timere accipere Mariam coniugem tuam. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By our Savior's blessed providence, this Laetare Sunday falls during our preparatory novena in honor of our patron, Saint Joseph. Laetare Sunday is so called after the first words of the introit of this Holy Mass, "Rejoice, Jerusalem." Our Holy Mother Church can no longer contain her joy at the thought of the day of our redemption so fast approaching. The epistle speaks of our freedom in Christ. The gospel depicts the multiplication of loaves and fish, respective symbols of the Holy Eucharist and baptism, sacraments whose power will flow from our blessed Savior's pierced side at the supreme moment of his life on Good Friday. The day of our freedom and heavenly nourishment draws near. All of our feasts have been working towards our Savior's passion, death, and resurrection. Yet we can prepare well for the joy of the culmination of our redemption during this novena and on this Laetare Sunday by lovingly contemplating the joy of our holy patron at the inception of our redemption. Our lives in service of our Lord are lives of spiritual combat. The book of Job had already warned us, the life of man upon earth is warfare. But God will not deprive us of the consolation of his holy presence even in this life. King David had prophesied in the Spirit, saying, "Weeping shall have place in the evening, and in the morning gladness." That is, holy joy will inevitably succeed sacred sorrow for those few found faithful to our Father in heaven. A night of oppression gives way to a day of deliverance. Those who mourn on Holy Saturday will rejoice on Easter morn. The death of Adam will surrender to the life of Christ. This bleak valley of tears will cede at last to the wedding feast of the Lamb. So is our life upon earth an interplay of shadow and light. And it was no different in the life of our holy patron, Saint Joseph. Seven are his sorrows we commemorate, and seven are his joys we celebrate. Among these we find Joseph at Bethlehem. What anguish for a father not to find a fitting place for his son to be born, and greater still knowing that he was foster father to a divine son. And yet what joy and consolation to see our Blessed Mother enwrap God the Son in swaddling cloths. What pain knew Joseph's heart to see the Christ child shed blood at the circumcision, but what consolation was his as legal father to pronounce solemnly at that sacred moment the name by which we are saved, Jesus. Let us consider more greatly, however, the sorrow and succeeding joy that Joseph knew in learning first that Mary was with child. The sorrow is Joseph's doubt. The joy is the message of the angel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, describes this sorrow of St. Joseph thus. Now the generation of Christ was in this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Whereupon Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing publicly to expose her, was minded to put her away privately. How our dear saint came to learn that our Blessed Mother was with child is unclear, but this sorrowful moment is called the doubt of Saint Joseph, because he is at an impasse on how he should respond to this knowledge. This first explanation of the doubt that we find, and to be rejected, is that Joseph, knowing that he was not the father, believed the child to have been conceived in adultery. Joseph, as a great lover of chastity, obedient to the law of Moses, would not abide on this theory, a union with an adulteress. Yet being also a man of great compassion and mercy, he would wish no harm or discredit to come to Mary. This interpretation is to the dishonor of both Mary and Joseph, and therefore to be excluded. It also excludes the great knowledge of our mother's high virtue which Joseph most surely possessed. The second explanation, therefore, finds Joseph torn by the evidence in front of him. On the one hand, he is certain that Mary is pregnant and that he is not the father. But on the other hand, knowing our Blessed Mother's eminent virtue, Joseph cannot possibly conceive that Mary could be guilty of sin. And so, before a matter which he does not understand, Joseph suspends judgment. Even if we do not accept this interpretation either, we could marvel in it how devoid of passion Joseph would be. Let us remember how often we ourselves are quick to judge, how excessive we are in revindicating our rights. On this interpretation of the doubt, nothing is sufficiently clear to Saint Joseph, and so he suspends judgment and he resolves to divorce Mary quietly. The third interpretation, and I believe the most profound and the most sound, does not believe the doubt to concern Mary's virtue or even the origin of the pregnancy. No. For Joseph, these points are more than clear. And why? Sacred Scripture calls Joseph just, that is to say, that he possessed the fullness of virtues according to the fathers of the Church. In learning of our Blessed Mother's pregnancy, Saint Joseph discerns its miraculous origin. Not ignorant of the prophecies concerning the Messiah, especially that of Isaiah, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, Joseph understands that the mystery unfolding before him is the very redemption of Israel. How dearly did our saint love the Blessed Virgin Mary? Remember that the essence of true love, of divine charity, is to will the good of another. How deeply does Saint Joseph respect his holy spouse, and how greatly does he wish the very best things for her? We can only imagine his joy when he had been wed to the Blessed Virgin Mary. As the fathers and doctors of the Church have said, they had already agreed to preserve their virginity by a holy pact. We cannot doubt that he already revered her greatly for the eminent virtue he found in her. How delighted was his virginal heart by the few but very holy conversations he may have already exchanged with her in the past. He must have imagined himself the happiest of men, to find a spouse so holy and so adorned with every virtue and grace. And yet now, what anguish, as he believes that he has no longer any right to a life with his holy wife. In his eyes, heaven, God himself has claimed her. How can he, a simple carpenter, though of a royal line, have any claim to be in the presence of the mother of the Messiah? How could he, this just man, excelling in humility, let anyone think for a moment that he is father of the divine child? Therefore, though he loves our Blessed Mother dearly and longs to live in chaste, charitable union with her, he is racked by the thought of his own unworthiness. As Saint Bernard explains, if Saint Peter could exclaim to our Blessed Savior, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord," or if the centurion could cry out, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof," would not our dear Saint Joseph likewise exclaim before the mystery of our redemption, "How could I be in the presence of so holy a mother and so holy a child?" Saint Joseph's doubt then concerns himself. Could he possibly have any claim to the mother of his Lord? And yet he loves Mary with a love that surpasses that of any husband for his wife. What sorrow the thought of renouncing her must cause to his purest heart. But moved more by his selfless humility and deep veneration for Mary, wishing the very best for her and believing the best to exclude him from the mystery of our redemption, Saint Joseph is resolved to give her wholly to God and to renounce his own claim over her by putting her away quietly. What a worthy guardian to Mary, what a worthy father to Jesus is this man, who thinks never of himself, but of the honor of God and of his spouse. But even as God has looked upon the humility of his handmaid Mary, as she will say in her Magnificat, likewise does he look upon the humility of his servant Joseph. Our faithful God delivers Joseph from his anguish and the sorrow at the thought of renouncing Mary. The angel of the Lord comes to our saint and says, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. It is though the angel were to say, fear not, Joseph, fear not that you are unworthy to draw near to the Mother of God. Fear not your low station, fear not your weaknesses and infirmities. God himself invites you into the heart of his sacred mysteries. God the Son wishes to look upon you as a guardian and protector. God the Son wishes to look upon your face and be reminded of his heavenly Father. Your Savior wishes to be protected and fed by your hands. Your Creator wishes to fall asleep on your chest. Your Lord wishes to be held in your arms. The Sacred Heart wishes to beat near to your purest heart. Joy is produced in our hearts at the possession of what is good. What immeasurable joy then fills St. Joseph's heart. Mary shall remain his wife, and his very Savior shall be his son. Let St. Joseph's joy be our own this day as we cross the threshold of the final days of Lent. Like Joseph, we may fear our unworthiness to approach Jesus and Mary, to approach the great mysteries unfolding before us. But our heavenly protector and patron turns to us now. Fear not, he now says to us, as was said to him. He invites us too to gather around his holy spouse and his divine son. Let us rejoice with Saint Joseph and follow him with confidence, for this loving, joyful father will always lead his faithful servants to their redemption in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.